The day that I was, Genesis chapter 37, I told you that I was thinking about a sermon. I've had this thought cooking now for a couple of months, and I've just been waiting for the opportunity to preach it. And then Jonathan, we had watch night service. Jonathan used a little bit of this and talked a little bit about it when he was doing his prop preaching on the camera on staying focused on Jesus through the journey. And I told you that I had this thought, and I've been trying to kind of develop it and think more about it. And so I want to give it to you today, and hopefully pray for me. We'll get it done in a real timely manner. But I want to make sure you get every bit of this because I think it's important for your life. I think this is something that will help each one of us as we look through some of the people in the Bible. You know, the Bible talks about in the New Testament that the things that were written aforetime. They're written in these other places and the other people's journeys were for us. They were for our example to help us see how God deals with people and how people make it through their journeys. And so I want to preach a message to you this morning, this, the journey to your dream, the journey to your dream. Genesis chapter number 37, I'll look at the first few verses here, and then we'll give you the introduction to the message. In Genesis 37 and verse 1, it says, "And Jacob dwelt in a land wherein his father was a stranger, in a land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old," he's a young man at this time, Joseph, 17 years old, "was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." Now, just so you'll know who that is, that's Jacob's other wives and then his brothers. That's Joseph's brothers. So he's with his brothers. He's second to the youngest of all the brothers. And so he's with his brothers, kind of doing stuff with them. And what he will do is go back and tell daddy all this evil stuff that brothers do. So obviously you can see he's headed for some disaster down the road, just in that sense there. Verse number 3, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children." There's another little lesson that's kind of a side lesson of favoritism and how favoritism caused nothing but grief in a family. It really does nothing but split up a family when you show more favoritism towards more child than you do one child than you do the other child. It just causes problems in a family. So there's another side thing that you could draw from this. Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and he'd made him a coat of many colors. You've heard that story several times before, the coat of many colors. "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren," look at this, "they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." They couldn't even talk kindly to him. And it says, "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed, for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheave rose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheave stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And watch this, and they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." So you can see this is a problem kind of boiling up in this family. What I want you to see is this is a 17-year-old man, and he's got a dream. He's got a dream for something for the future. He may not know everything about how it's going to work out for the future. All he knows is he's got an idea of kind of what the future is going to hold. God has not laid out everything about it, hasn't laid out the journey to getting there. He doesn't know. Remember, I preached a message a couple of Sundays ago about now and then. All we can do is walk in the now. We don't understand the then all the times. And we have things that happen in our life that are getting us to the then, and we don't quite understand them. Until we're in the then, we can look back and say, I understand why I had to go through that in the now. But now, right now, we have to, remember we talked about, we have to walk by faith, hope, and charity. Remember we talked about that in 1 Corinthians 13. That's kind of the journey. So he's got someplace he's headed. He's got a dream that he's going to head towards. He's got something he plans. Many of you probably, for this next year, you've got a dream. I'm going to be better at this. I'm going to do more of this. My family's going to read the Bible together. We're going to be more devoted towards the things of God. I'm going to be at the house of God more. I'm going to grow significantly this year in my walk with God. Whatever it might be, maybe you've prayed and got a desire or a dream of I'm going to reach this goal in my life. That's what he's kind of got. He's got some type of fuzzy dream about where he'd like to be or where he thinks he's going to be down the road. He just doesn't know how it's all going to work out. But I want you to see something else about him. I want you to see kind of his spirit or his attitude as a young, immature man. Because at the end of this thing, Joseph's going to be a quite different person. We're going to go through the journey with him. At the end, he's going to be a completely different man. But at the beginning, we see some things about him that I think are pretty interesting. One, he's a tattler. When he's quick to open his mouth. That's another thing you see about him. This is the type of man that he has no problem telling the rest of his brethren, guess what, God is really on me. God's using me in a great way. In fact, at some point, it may work out that you're going to be serving me. How about that? Now, let me just go ahead and tell you, that's immature and that's foolish. That caused him great grief. We also see that he's favored amongst all of his brothers, and he's kind of created a little bit of division between him and his brothers. The Bible doesn't say that he's prideful. The Bible does not say he's arrogant. But what you do see in him is he's acting pretty immature in the way he's doing things. He's running and telling everybody everything that God tells him. He's just spreading it to everybody else, almost in an arrogant type of way. And then when he sees his brothers do something bad, he wants to go tell somebody else what he saw them doing. I would just say, if it was me, I would say at the very beginning of his journey, he's fairly immature. He's fairly immature at the beginning of his journey. But what we're going to see is by the time you get to the end of his journey, by Genesis chapter 50, the end of this, you're going to see a man that's completely different. He's very reserved. He's very kind. He's slow to speak. He's more quiet. I would say he's more humble. He's just a different man at the end of this journey than he was at the beginning of this journey. And so I want to show you tonight, or this morning, kind of his journey, and then help make application to you on your journey. Because I don't know if you realize it, but this church is on a journey. This church had a beginning. This church will have an end. This church is on a journey. But this church is made up of a bunch of individuals. And guess what? You're all on your own journey. You're on your journey, and Brother Worth's journey might be at a different place than Brother Chad's journey, or so on and so forth. Different people have different places in their journey. But all of us, you can just get this in your mind this morning, every one of you are on a journey. Every one of you had a starting place with God. Every one of you have got a place you're headed with God. And you're all on a journey. And so we're going to look at a few things. I want to at least look at four things that take place over this 13-year journey that takes place. Now, he's okay with being in here. He's not going to bother. But if you do want, there is a nursery in the back. If you want to go in the back, you can go in the back. There's a nursery back there for all the babies. If he gets too out of control, you can take him in there. So here's the deal. It takes 13 years. By the time he's 30 years old is when he finally sees the thing fulfilled. And so there's some that takes place. I want you to see the things that take place. Number one, look at verse number 18 of chapter 37. I want you to see the first thing that takes place. He's telling them his dreams. He's unfolded his dream to them. He's let them in on a little bit of what's going on with him. And you've seen that they've hated him even more and more. He goes away and he's coming back. His brothers are out in the field working. Verse number 18, it says, "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we may say, some, this is important, evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Now, let me say this. As he's going on this journey, let me tell you the first thing you're going to run into is you're going to run into some people that don't like the fact that you've got a dream. You're going to run into some people that aren't going to be as excited about you following God closely as you are with following God closely. Right. It's always going to happen that way. And so let me say the very first thing that you better get down, that he had to get down in his journey, that he had to get, and that you'll have to get, is this, some fortitude. You ever heard the military say intestinal fortitude? You're going to have to get some fortitude about you. You say, what is fortitude? Fortitude is courage during pain and adversity. Just some drive that I'm going to keep going, no matter if everybody else has a problem with me having a dream and heading towards a dream of doing something with God. It doesn't matter what comes my way, I'm going to continue to drive forward in life. You better get that in your spirit. You say, why? Because there's some pits coming along your journey. And let me tell you something else. There's some evil beasts that are going to jump out along your journey. And it's interesting, the evil beast that jumps out, because the evil beast, look at verse number 11, the evil beast that jumps out is this. And his brethren, say that next word, envied him. His brethren envied him. Let me tell you what the evil beast that jumped out to attack this young man as he's making his journey from where he started to fulfilling his dreams in life. The first one that jumps out is the evil beast of envy. And you say, am I going to have that? Yes. Yes, you probably will. If you do anything big for God, there's always going to be some evil beast that's going to jump out of the woodwork and try to pull you down to their level. People do not like it when they're around other people that are trying to excel for God, especially when they're not concerned with excelling for God. And they'll try to find a way to pull you back down to their level. It always happens. You get a young person on fire for God in school, and he says, I'm going to do something great for God, and he's got a dream to do something great for God. All the friends that he used to have that are concerned with being way down here, they're going to try to pull him down to their level. They'll envy him as God blesses him and his life. They'll try to pull him down to his level. You watch it. You mark it. As you go along, there's going to be some pits along your way, and there's going to be some evil beasts along your way. You say, what form? Where are they going to come from? Well, let me tell you where they came from in this one. They came from his own family. The evil beast of envy came out of his own house. You say, that's odd. Nope, that's the way it takes place in a lot of places. When David said, there's a cause. Look at Goliath. I'll go out and fight him. Do you know who the biggest opponent that he faced was? His own brothers. He said, oh, you're just a prideful little kid. Go back and tend to the sheep. Because they didn't have any idea that they wanted to do anything great for God. They were content with being mediocre. And here comes one that says, I've got a dream. I'm going to do something bigger for God. And many of you have made a dream this year to do something bigger for God. And you watch, somebody will try to come out. If they have not already done it this year already, they're going to try to jump up and try to pull you back down to their level. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. The pit of envy and the evil beast of envy will come up. It'll happen from the world. The world will do it. And we can expect that from the world. Jesus said, look, if they hated you, if they hate me, guess what? They're going to hate you as well. So we can expect it from the world. But it may come from the brethren. You say, I couldn't believe that it would come from another church member. It might. It might. You say, well, that really hurt me that it would happen like that. I'm sure it hurt him that his brothers sold him into slavery and did him the way they did. They dig a pit, they put him in the pit, and sell him into slavery. And I'm sure that hurt him to think that this is what would take place in his life, that his own brothers would do him this way. And it did hurt him very deeply. But can I say to you that what he did was he had some intestinal fortitude to say, I'm going to keep driving on even though I've ran into something that's painful in my life. And if you're going to make it from the start point to the finish point of really doing something for God on your journey, you're going to have to get something in you that says, I'm going to keep going even though evil beasts are going to come in my way. And even though I might hit a pit or two along the way, I'm just going to keep on going for God. Folks, listen, when you go to work, you hit some pits along your job, but you don't quit a job just because you hit a little pit in the road. Why? You say, well, I can't quit. I got to have the income. Let me tell you something. You can't quit this journey either with God. You need to get along the journey. And don't quit just because you hit a bump in the road. That's not good. A man told me one time, he said this, you need to be strong-willed. He said, not self-willed, but strong-willed. When you know that God has called you to do something or God's doing something in your life, I'm giving you this advice, folks. You need to be strong in the will of God. Amen. Not self-willed, like I'll do whatever I want to do and you can't tell me anything. No, I'm saying when God tells you something to do, be strong in His will. Strong-willed. That the little things in life, or even the big things in life, won't shake you loose from just staying on a walk with God. Because they're going to come. They're going to come. His fortitude. His fortitude. They sold him into slavery to Pharaoh, and that's what takes place in chapter number 39. We'll skip over because something else happens in 38. But in chapter 39, they've sold him into slavery. He ends up in slavery to Pharaoh, and he's in Potiphar's house. Potiphar is the man that's in charge of the military there for Pharaoh. This is going to be a very high-ranking individual in the house. And so he is going to be under Potiphar and Potiphar's slave. What's interesting is God continues to bless him. Amen. And he continues to walk with God. And as he does that, you'd say, well, look, it can't get any worse for this poor young man on this journey. It's about to get a whole lot worse. It's going to get worse than his family, the evil beast in the pit, and the slavery. Yep, it's about to get a whole lot worse. And let me tell you, this is something every one of us can relate to. Number one, he's going to have some fortitude. But number two, let me say this. Look at verse number 39. Chapter 39, look at verse number 7. I want you to see this. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, Potiphar's wife, cast her eyes upon Joseph. The verse above says that Joseph was a pretty good-looking guy. So she cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in the house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this thing, this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, and let me tell you something, sin will have this on you. It'll day by day try to just pick at you. Day by day, he hearkened not unto her to lie with her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. Now watch this, what it says. And there was none of the men in the house there within. He was all by himself with her. And she called him by the garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand. And say the next two words. And what? Fled. And fled and got him out. Let me say first, you've got to have some fortitude to make it through. Let me say number two, you've got to flee from some sin in your life. As you're on this journey, there's going to be some temptations. There's going to be some lusts. On the road to maturity, you're going to hit these things. This is a 17-year-old young man, and I'm sure he has the same hormones that all 17-year-old young men have. And I'm going to tell you something. If you want to make it from point A to point B in your life and really do something with God, you're going to have to flee from some sin in your life. There's a lot of people that on the journey of life, God has got a plan for them. God's got something good for them. I mean, it's going to be a blessing down the road for them. And they've got the fortitude to make it through some of the pits and some of the evil beasts. But the thing that gets them is their own lusts. And you'd be surprised the things that pull people off the track of just walking with God. I'm not talking about losing their salvation. I'm talking about being the Christian that God wants them to be in their life. To have the blessings and get to the place that he wants them to be. A lot of people, you'd be surprised at some of the silly things that the devil can just throw in the way, or the flesh can get in the way, or the world can throw in the way to get somebody off track from following God. Little things, if we put all of them in a big pot right here and we were to draw them out, the little things that got this person off, you'd say, that is the thing that got them off track? Yeah, it's just little things in life. And if you're not careful along this journey, the little things will get you off track and mess you up. Let me tell you something. I don't believe that Joseph might have made it to the place he was going to make it had he really done this thing with her. He said, I'm not going to do it. And because he said, I'm not going to do it, I think God blessed him because he didn't do the sin. He stayed away from it. Let me tell you, some of you, you've made a dream. You're on the track. Can I just tell you, I'm giving you the warning because here it comes. Mark it down. There's going to be something to try to get you off track. I told somebody this morning, it has never failed once that a person has not come to me and said, I've got a strong desire to do something great for God. This year I'm going to do this. I'm going to join the FBI and I'm going to learn and I'm going to graduate or whatever. And it's never failed even once that something has not come up to try to pull them away from that time. Some change in something, or if you ever get a young person that says, I'm on fire for God, you can mark it down. This will happen. You ever get a young person that says, I'm on fire for God, the opposite sex will show up. Never fails. And it'll be somebody that will say, why would you go to church? Why can't we go out and do something that day to get them off track? It never fails. Something will try to pop up to get you off track. It happens every time. The only way you're going to be able to get from point A to point B, really, though, is you're going to have to flee from some things. You know, when Paul wrote to Timothy and he was telling him how to be a good pastor and make it to the end of his journey as a pastor, you know what Paul told Timothy? This is what he told him in 1 Timothy 6:11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Talking about youthful lusts. That you're going to have to run away from some things that are coming up in your life that are going to try to pull you away from the goal God's got for your life. You got to flee some things of sin. Let me tell you something else. When you look at that, he was in a house alone with a girl. That should have been a big tip-off right there. You know what you need to do? Not just flee away from sin, but you need to flee away from even the appearance of, even the circumstances that get you in the place of sin. You know, you can, let me tell you something. In your home, dad runs the home. I don't run your homes. I don't run the home. But I can give you some advice that I've seen from this pulpit that'll help you in your homes. Can I tell you some good advice? I know this to be good advice. It's never good advice to put a boy and a girl together in a car alone together and send them out somewhere. You say, why? Well, they're good kids. Yeah, but let me tell you something. There are times that hormones override good, solid sense. And you just got to be careful with these things. You get a kid that's on the road to good. I mean, he's good. Or she's good. They're on the road. The devil can throw some little wrench in that system. I've got good friends. I mean, I've got a good friend. He's preached here before. I mean, they were young teenagers, on fire for God in Christian school. Hormones just got out of hand and wrecked them. Just wrecked them. He got back on track later on, but it set him back a long time. I'm just telling you, you got to flee from some sin and even stay away from the appearance of some sin or even some circumstances where it just sets you up for the failure of sin. You just got to stay away from it. Flee from sin. But let me say thirdly, look at chapter 39, look at verse number 2. The Lord was with Joseph. Look at verse number 21. Look what it says. But the Lord was with Joseph. There's going to have to be some fortitude. There's going to have to be some fleeing from some sin. But let me tell you something else. There's going to have to be some faith. And watch this, and some faithfulness to God. Along this journey, going from point A to point B to fulfilling the dream, you're going to have some fortitude because there's going to be some bumps in the road. You're going to have to flee from some youthful lust or some lust in your life. You're going to flee from it. But you're also going to have to be faithful and stay faithful to God and stay close to God. And realize that God is doing things in your life and trust in God that He's doing it. When he ends up there sold into slavery, you know what's interesting to me about him being sold into slavery? He continues to walk with God. Do you know what's interesting about that is if that had been me or if that had been you and my brother and my sister have sold me into slavery, I would say, there goes the dream. I had a dream and there goes the dream. I might as well just quit. I just give up. I throw in the towel. I'm done. He doesn't do that. What he does is he says, I'm going to stick with walking with God even though I'm in a really bad situation. And when he does that, God says, I am with you in this journey. This doesn't seem right. This doesn't feel good. But guess what? I've got you exactly where I need you to be. And if you'll just stick with me, I'll get you through this thing. You know, what's interesting though is he's forsaken by his brothers and sisters. There are his brothers. There is family. But then he's falsely accused by this woman, this wicked woman that he's got. And he ends up even worse off than he was before. Now, when Potiphar hears about this false accusation, because when he flees from her, she runs and tells Potiphar, he tried to take advantage of me. And Potiphar throws him into prison. And now he's gone from the pit. Guess what? Now he's in the prison. And you think, man, this is just getting terrible. But can I tell you something? In verse number 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Can I say something to you? I don't think it was just He just did whatever he wanted to do, and the Lord caused it to prosper. I think that he stayed close to God, and because he was close to God, even in the midst of a trial, God blessed him. Amen. And everybody else could see how blessed he was. God blessed him because he stayed close to God in the trial. Now what takes place, you can go over to chapter number 40. What ends up taking place is Pharaoh's butler and Pharaoh's baker ends up in prison with him. Now, this man just continues to walk with God. Let me tell you something. You just think about this for a minute. If this was you and me, I'd have a problem just continuing to walk in God in prison. After all this, if you really put this to where this is your life, you might have a problem. But this man, as other people enter into the same problem he's got, in chapter 40, look at verse number 6, the baker and the butler enter in. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they begin to tell him that they've had a dream and that they're in this prison. They're sad. But here's a man, follow me with me now. Here's a man that's in the midst of a real trial, and he's concerned with cheering up other people that are in the trial because he's walking with God. He just stays faithful to God. And as he does it, he tells them their dream, interprets a dream for them, and you know, they get out. They get out of prison. Well, one of them, the baker, ends up dead, but the butler gets out of prison. And this is what Joseph says to him. You can read in verse 14 and down in verse number 23. What he ends up doing is, as the butler is going to depart, what Joseph will say to the butler is, please remember me when you get out of prison. If there comes any time where you can speak favorably on my part and get me out of this predicament I'm in, that would be a blessing. Please don't forget me. I don't want to stay in prison. Please help me. And the butler says, I will take care of you when I get out. But in the last verse of that thing, in the last few words, it says, he forgot him. He just forgot him. In the beginning of chapter 41, it says he stayed there 2 more years in prison. But can I tell you, he just continued to walk with God. He continued to walk with God. And eventually Pharaoh starts having dreams. And Pharaoh asks his men, and the butler says, wait a minute, I remember a young man that's down in the prison. You put him down there, he's down in the prison, and he interprets dreams. I'm trying to tell you how God works in your life if you'll just stay faithful to God.
Amen.
And the Pharaoh says, send for him and bring him up here to where we're at. And in chapter 40, chapter 41, look at verse number 15. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I've heard say of thee that thou canst understand the dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Can you just see, as you read through this thing, he never departed from God in this whole deal. He kept saying, God's in control. God's in control. God's in control. And let me tell you something. If you're going to make it through this entire journey that you're in, as you go through some of the things that you're going to go through in life, and guess what? You're going to go through them. The only way you're going to make it is if you get in your mind, God's in control. God's with me, and I don't care what circumstance I find myself in, I'm not getting away from God. I'm not going to get away from the things of God. I'm just going to stay faithful to God and watch God bless me and help me as I get through this situation.
Amen.
Because folks, listen, he didn't have the blessing. Follow me now. He didn't have the blessing of turning a few chapters forward and saying, oh, that's what's going to happen with my life. He didn't have the blessing of that. You know what he had to do? He had to just keep walking daily saying, I trust God. I trust God. He had to get up in the morning and say, I got to approach this day in prison trusting God. He knows where I'm at. He knows what I need. He knows how to get me from here to there. I'm going to trust him. And as he did, God said, I see that. I'm going to bless you as you go. You got to stay faithful to God. Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not on thy understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Paul said in Philippians 1 and verse number 6, he said, I'm confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Christ. We need to get that in our spirit, because there's going to be some things that are going to happen along the way, and you're going to have to get in your mind, God knew what was going to happen to me before it happened to me. And God can help get me through this thing that I'm going through right now. Faith in God. And faithfulness to God. And then let me just say lastly, look at chapter 41. Look down at verse number 37. 41, 37. And the thing was good. He interprets Pharaoh's dream. The thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a man as this, that this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? You understand, as he's walking with God, the Spirit of God's on this young man. Even in the midst of trials, God's with him and God's taking care of him and God's helping him as he goes through this thing. Can we find anybody that the Spirit of God is like this? Like God is on this young man even though he's in his trials? Can we find anybody like this, he says. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Just walked with God. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the house will I be greater than thou. On the throne will I be greater than thou. He says, listen, everything that I've got, Pharaoh says, everything that I've got, you're in charge of. The only time that I'm above you is when I'm sitting on the throne. You're in charge of everything. Can you see how God is working this out? And it seems like everything's beginning to change for him. But can I tell you something? He's not to the end of the journey yet, though. He's not to the end of the journey. And so you look at verse number 50 of that same chapter, and I want you to see something. This is the last point, and this is one of the most crucial points you're going to have to get on your journey is this one. Verse number 50. And unto Joseph were born two sons. This is while he's ruling the whole kingdom there. Were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me to forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Let me tell you something you're going to have to get at the end. You're going to have to get in your spirit a spirit of forgiveness. Amen. Let me tell you something. If he had not got to the place where he could forgive, and that's when he says forget, later on in chapter 50, he talks about forgiving them before they even asked for forgiveness. Let me tell you something. If you can't get to the place and people hurt you, and they're going to hurt you, and family's going to hurt you, and people are going to hurt you, other Christians might hurt you, the world's going to hurt you. If you can't get to the place that you start to forgive those that have hurt you along the way, it's going to hinder you from getting to the end of the goal, because you're going to be nothing but bitter. And bitter people end up getting out of the whole race. They just do. You know what he could have done? If it had been me, if it had been you, you know what, tell you what he might have done? When he got to setting up on the throne there, and Pharaoh is giving him everything, you know what he might have done? He might have said, where is that butler now? Where's the butler that forgot about me? I had to stay in prison, that stinking prison for 2 more years. Where's he now? I've got a little something for him. What about Potiphar's wife? It's not Pharaoh's wife now. It's Potiphar's wife, one of the men under him. Now that lady is now under him. And if you would have been like me, maybe, you might have said, where's Potiphar's wife now? I got a little something for Potiphar's wife. That's what you might have said. But can I tell you something? He forgave. He forgave. Did they come to him and say, will you forgive? No, he just forgave in spite of the fact they didn't come to him and say anything to him. He just forgave. And can I tell you something? If you hold on to something like that and get bitterness in your heart, no matter what it is, whether it's because of the pits, whether it's the evil beast, whether it's the family, whether it's the circumstances you've had in life, can I tell you something else? I think he had to get in his heart even forgiveness towards God. Because some of you will get a grudge towards God in some of the things. God, you told me I was going to be doing this in my life. And now I end up in a pit. Now I end up in a prison. I'm falsely accused. My brothers have turned on me. What is all this about? I'm a little angry at God over the fact that you put me in this situation. How many of you would agree that happens sometimes in a Christian's heart? You better get to the place where you can forgive. You're never going to get to the end of the journey. It's never going to happen. And let me tell you something. The only way he's going to be fruitful. He said he called one of his kids fruitful and the other one forget. The only way you're going to get fruitful is if you forget. The only way you're going to make it on the journey of being fruitful in life is if you can get to the place of forgiving others. That's it. That's a key. Folks, listen, that is one of the greatest keys you'll get in life. If you'll forgive, you can get to the fruitful. Amen. If he had not forgiven, he never would have got to the fruitful. And so it's important that you forgive. Look at chapter 45 and just look at his spirit now. He's a changed man. He's changed. He's not the same way he used to be. He's different. Chapter 45, his brothers, they show up. Guess what? They end up, just like the dream, some 13 years earlier. Now they end up, guess where they're at? They're bowing before him. They don't recognize him, but they come in because there's a famine in the land, and Pharaoh has had that dream, and Joseph's interpreted the dream. And now Joseph has made provision, so the only place you're going to find any food anywhere in that whole area is coming to Pharaoh, coming to Egypt. So all of Joseph's brothers and everybody there, they all are in famine. The only place they can go to get food is, guess where? To Joseph. And they all end up in that dream from 13 years earlier, now the dream's coming to fruition. And now they're bowing at his feet, asking him for provisions, just like he dreamed 13 years earlier. But can I tell you something? That's what I want you to see. The man that told them that they would be bowing was a different man than was standing there as they were bowing. He was different. He was different. And that's what this journey is about. The journey is about conforming you to be more like Christ and to be more like his spirit. Because we all start off on this journey and we've got zeal, we've got a lot of things going on, but God has to work and pound some of that stuff out of us to get us to a place where we're now, we can be useful for him. You can start off, folks, listen, you can start off on this journey and be real excited about what God's going to do, but you're not to the place where he can even do it with you yet until you get over here to you're more conformed to be more like him. Now he can use you to do what he's planned to do with you all along. It's the journey. And so you look at chapter 45, look at him. Then Joseph could not refrain himself as they bow before him, before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." Everybody to go out. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. He tells them finally who he is. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, and they were troubled in his presence. And Joseph said to his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Amen. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there is 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives with a great deliverance." You see a different man here. He's different. He's not the same boastful young man that he was, the tattler that he was. You see a man that's humble. You see a man that's ready to forgive quickly. You see a man that doesn't want separation. He wants them to be close to him. He's weeping several times through this whole deal. He's got a love for them. This is a changed man. You say, what changed him? The journey changed him. The journey that you'll be on will change you to make you more like Christ. You know, one of the most interesting things about Joseph is this. Joseph is one of the greatest pictures in the Bible of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's one of the greatest pictures. And it was all because of his journey that made him that way. Joseph was dearly loved of his father, so was Jesus. Joseph was a shepherd of his father's sheep, so was Jesus. Joseph was hated by his brothers, so was Jesus, John 7. Joseph was stripped of his clothing, so was Jesus. He was sold for the price of a slave, so was Jesus, 30 pieces of silver. He was taken to Egypt to tempt him. Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was falsely accused, Joseph, so was Jesus. He was condemned with criminals, so was Jesus. Yet after he suffered, he was highly exalted, so was Jesus. He wept for his brothers, so did Jesus. He forgave those that wronged him, so did Jesus. And when men did these things to hurt him, God turned them around for good to save them. Same with Jesus. Amen. Joseph became a lot like Jesus Christ. Let me just sum this whole thing up by saying this. The journey is for a purpose. The journey is for the purpose of this, to make you a whole lot like Jesus Christ. Amen. The things you'll go through in life. We go through some things in life and run away from God. But we don't understand that God is doing some things in our life to make us conform to his image to be used in a greater way. They're not meant to drive us far from God. They're meant to drive us closer to God. And the things that we're going through in life that you're saying, "I can't believe God would do this." Listen, the pit and the palace and the prison and all those things were active ingredients to making him just like Jesus was. And those things that we go through in life, I don't like going through some of the things I go through, but I realize that I'm going through some of those things so that God can conform me to be more like Jesus. Because I'm not going to be properly used until I am like Jesus, and neither are you. This is a journey. You say, what is this journey? To me being great? No, this is a journey to you being more like Jesus Christ. When we study Philippians here in another few days, Paul's going to make this statement in Philippians 3:10. This is what he's going to say. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You know what the journey of Paul was? Paul said, I just want to be like Jesus Christ. Because I know that when I become more like Jesus Christ, I can be more of a help to others. And I can fulfill what God has for my life as I become more like Jesus. So let me say this. The things you're going to go through, the things you may be going through right now, can I just say this? Have some fortitude. Just keep going. Even though there's a pit, an evil beast, something's going on in your life. Some of you came in this morning. I was watching. Some of you came in weeping this morning over something in your life. Can I just tell you this? Just keep going. Have some fortitude. Just keep going. Can I say this? Some of you, there's going to be some sin that's going to pop up, try to get you off track. Can I just tell you this? Please do this. Flee from the sin. Some of you are going through a pit and you're in the prison right now and you feel like, I don't know what in the world's going on. This is not what I had planned. Can I just give you this advice? Stay faithful to God.
Amen.
He's faithful to you. You just stay faithful to Him. And for all of us, as we go through things, some of you right now, at 17 years old, your family did something to you that you've never got over. And now here you are later on in life and you're still bearing the scars of something that took place 17 years ago. And you feel like, I can't accomplish anything for God because of this thing that happened in my past. Can I tell you, if you want to have the fruitful, you're going to have to get forgetful. So some of us, you're going to have to say this, God, help me to forgive because I want to be fruitful. I've got to forgive. And many of you could relate to Joseph and say, man, at 17, my family did me really wrong. But can I tell you something? If you want to get down the journey with God, I've got a father that will never leave me, never forsake me, and does not do me any wrong.
Amen.
Family may, but he won't.
Right.
You say, but he let me go through these situations. Yeah, but he had you right where he needs you to be through the entire thing.
Amen.
And he never left you once. He never forsake you at all. And he'll get you all the way to the end of the goal. And I'm going to tell you something, it'd be a blessing at the end. The mid part, it wasn't so that he could be highly exalted, it's so that he could be more humble and be used the way he needed to be used. So I'd say, just be faithful, forgive. We're all on a journey. God will see you through the journey. There are things that are going to come along the journey, trials and troubles. They're going to build you, they're going to make you a little stronger, and they're going to conform you to the image of Christ. Joseph is one of the greatest images of Christ. And guess what? As we go through some of the things in life, we're going to be a greater image for Jesus Christ. This world needs to see Jesus in us. And that's part of our journey. Let's stand to our feet. Folks, just getting from the dream to accomplishing the dream. There's a journey involved. I hope you take these four things and you'd think about them. This wouldn't be something I came to church, I checked the box. But you'd think on these things because if you'll think about them this week, you're going to experience one of these things. You will. This will come. This next week, this next month, you'll experience one of these things. And you'll remember that you heard it in this story of Joseph. And maybe it'll help you get through it and accomplish the goal in life.
Amen.
Lord God, Father, we ask you to please bless our people today. Bless them this morning. Speak to their hearts. Father, if there be somebody in this room this morning that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray you might work in their heart and help them be saved this morning. Father, I that would be the greatest thing. Father, you know, we talked to a man the other day, and he said, I just don't go to church that much anymore. I've got off track, and for whatever the thing was, he got off his journey. But the most important thing, we talked to him about it, was that he made sure that he knew he was saved, that he really started the journey. So, Father, I pray if there's somebody in here that just doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that you'd please help them to see they need to realize they're a sinner, separated from you, and to put their faith and trust in you and start the journey with you. Father, I pray for those of us that are on the journey. We're going through some things in life, and you're conforming us to make us more like you so you can be used in a greater way and more of the light of God can shine through us. Father, as we do that, I pray that you'd help us to stay on track, to stay faithful to you, to stay with a drive, a fortitude for you, to flee from sin that'll come up in our life, and to, Father, be somebody that will forgive and forget so that we can be fruitful in our future. Father, I think you've got a journey for each person in this room. Then you've got a journey for this church. Some are on different paths in it. And Father, I pray you'd please bless them and help them as we make the journey towards being more like Jesus. Bless now in this invitation as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. What page?